This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show on this Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. The Broncos are 8-2. Benjamin Albright joining us now, host of Broncos Country Tonight. It sure doesn't feel like 8-2, my friend. That was interesting last night.
That it was. Interesting is probably the most charitable way to put that. I think we're at the point now where we're 8-2, and we have to ask ourselves a very tough question. Are we actually any good?
And I mean, defensively, yeah, right. But offensively, that was—I mean—that was as bad as it's been. It seems like they're taking steps backwards.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, or it doesn't look to be, getting better. And you look over the last 2 weeks, and there's something to be said for getting two wins, but at the same time, beating Davis Mills and the corpse of Geno Smith is not exactly inspiring heading down the late stretch here with two games against Kansas City, a game against the Chargers, a game against the Packers, a game against the suddenly good Jacksonville Jaguars. There's a lot of kind of eyebrow raised as you look at the back half of the schedule.
What are you seeing specifically last night? Is this Sean Payton, bad play calling? Is it Bo Nix? Is it the offensive side of the roster just isn't good? What are you seeing?
Well, the short answer there is just yes to all of that.
Yeah.
The reality is it's a combination of things. It's not just one thing. It's a compound problem. You're getting way too many penalties, and that's on coaching. If you're getting that many penalties, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. You look at the quarterback, and the quarterback has been largely ineffective for large portions of the game. Well, the problem with that is we keep calling plays that require the quarterback to make throws that he's not making. So who does that fall back on? Again, falls back on the coaching. We have a running attack that's working, and we abandon that for large stretches of time. Again, who is that on? Well, that'd be the play caller. So you see there's a unified theme going here, and that's without getting into whatever that cutesy nonsense was we dialed up on 3rd and 1 that lost yardage and caused us to miss a field goal. But that's what Sean Payton does. It's like, it's 3rd and 1. We need 1 yard. Let's just put the back that's averaging 6 a carry in there. And Sean Payton's like, no. Razzle dazzle. What are we doing? We're dialing up
Cortland
Sutton pass plays, Garrett Bowles receiving plays. Like, what are we doing in short yardage situations?
Yeah, well, and while you were talking about, Bo Nix and putting him in bad positions, I think back to John Fox with this Broncos team when they have to make a transition midseason from Kyle Orton to Tim Tebow, completely different guys. And it worked somewhat. They were winning weird ways, and it was kind of clunky and strange, and the offense wasn't great. But somehow they altered an offense to fit a guy that really can't throw. So I guess I look at that with Sean Payton. And Bo Nix is not Tim Tebow. There's got to be ways to design your schemes, your plays, whatever, to fit him better. And for whatever reason, we're just not getting there.
Yeah, and this seems to be, football is very complex, but at the same time, it's hilariously simple. And that you look at what is working, and we're like, why don't we do more of that? We run the ball effectively. Why don't we run more? We play with tempo in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden the offense starts clicking. Why don't we play with tempo? We throw up the seams, and we throw the intermediate routes in the fourth quarter. We don't do that. We're screens and deep shots for 3 quarters before we get there. This isn't new to Bo Nix. This is the same offense and the same problems they had when Sean Payton and Russell Wilson were together, where we couldn't do anything for 3 quarters, and then Russ would pull something out of his backside in the fourth. So, my frustration lies with Sean Payton, who is a good coach, but like you mentioned John Fox, I put him on that tier of coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a good coach, but maybe not a great coach. And so that's sort of where we are. Sean Payton has raised the baseline of the Denver Broncos, but I think we've sort of gotten to the point where he's spiraling with his handpicked quarterback that isn't cut out to do what he wants to do. And so here we are, hilariously at 8-2 for some reason, when we could just as easily be 3-6 7.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how it feels. On Bo Nix, what did you see last night? I mean, he was running around a lot. It didn't seem like the Raiders had an overwhelming pass rush, but every time you look down, as soon as Bo snaps the ball, those feet are moving. He's taking off. What did you see specifically there in Bo's game last night?
Well, part of that was Quinn, feeling under the weather and all that. And, he got replaced by Calvin Throckmorton. So you got two guards that, are backup guards. One's a converted tackle. And again, you've got Max Crosby on the other side there. That's always a thing. I think the Raiders' defensive line's a little bit underrated. Some of those guys are actually decent players, and it's the Raiders, so we tend to make jokes, but they've got a few decent players on the defensive side there. They're not great defense, but they're underrated. And so I think that's part of it. Bo mechanically has become a shell of himself. You look at it, the footwork is off. He's throwing off platform. He's dropping the arm socket and slinging stuff sideways. And, we see these dirt darts he's throwing out there. It's fascinating because the mechanical regression is interesting. It's kind of the anti Josh Allen. You watch the Josh Allen thing. He started off horrible, got better. And people used to say, well, he throws the ball like he's punishing the air. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, well, Bo's throwing the ball like he's mad at the ground. So what did it ever do to him?
Well, and that, like, do you, is that fixable? How do you feel about the franchise quarterback discussion surrounding Bo Nix? Is what you're talking about fixable?
Well, yeah. I mean, theoretically, yes. The key is to get muscle memory back to doing the right things, which takes a lot of repetition, a lot of practice, and putting your guy in situation to remember that he's supposed to do that until it becomes instinct, right? So you got to find a way to kind of slow that down. You watch Bo at the beginning of games, and he comes in with the engine, on full bore. We see how almost nervous he looks at the beginning of games with some of these inaccurate throws and throwing the ball high. And so you've got to find a way to settle that down. Well, what better way to settle that down than have him just back there handing the ball off? Get that nervous energy of being out there by not having to do the things that are required of it.
What is it going to take for RJ Harvey to actually get, a half a dozen carries in a football game?
The genius realizing that running backs can run the ball.
Yeah.
When you're playing, when you're playing 4D chess like Sean Payton is with everybody else, it's you that's the actual problem and not him not calling running plays.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins got 18 carries, but then when you look at it and go, well, the next up was, well, Bo had 5, but R.J. Harvey with 4 carries, I don't understand it. I just don't get it.
Part of that is, though, that number, that 18 carries, that's a thing, but how many of those were from the salted away drive? The reality is they had, 4 carries in the first half, 3 of which came on the first 3 plays. Sean Payton just he'll run the ball at first and it's working, and then just completely forgets that part of the game exists. And it's like he's like, oh yeah, I've got Drew Brees back here. We're gonna throw this ball 60 times, and then you remember you don't have Drew Brees, who covered up all manner of sins in your offense for 15 years, and then all of a sudden you look at what this thing really is.
It reminds me of the Nuggets a few years ago. Aaron Gordon's on the bench, and Michael Malone didn't put him back into the game. They end up winning, but it was a close game. And Michael Malone told reporters, I just forgot about him. Like, you forget about your second best player on the team. Is that what's going on with Sean? He just gets so caught up, he just simply forgets to run? Or is he just like, no, I'm going to showcase my prized possession in Bo Nix?
Oh, I think it's a deliberate choice. I mean, you look at this, and I've mentioned some of the things already. The 3rd-and-1 play, what are you doing dialing up a pass play with your wide receiver throwing the ball? We go back to the last home game where we had the ball at the 5. J.K. Dobbins gets it down to the 2, and we throw a pass to Garrett Bowles. We have a boot play. We throw it out the end zone, and then some weird screen play to Cortland Sutton. You were on the 2-yard line. Just run the ball in. You don't have to have passing touchdowns. They count the same number of points if the running back runs it in.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating about this whole deal. Meanwhile, on the defensive side, 6 sacks. The Raiders, they made the Raiders look awful, and the Raiders aren't fantastic. I get it. But this defense, it does remind me a lot of that 2015 year, because the offense was what it was. Peyton Manning was out, and you had Brock Osweiler, although I think the offense was better then. There's a lot of similarities to what we saw in that Super Bowl run, although at this time in that year, we weren't really talking about the Broncos winning a Super Bowl.
Well, you go back and look at the numbers from that year, and they're staggeringly similar. I think the defense this year has actually allowed fewer points than that defense had at this point. Now, they generated more turnovers, the defense had scored more touchdowns, and the offense had turned the ball over significantly more. But, yeah, I mean, great, you know, there's a lot of similarities, you know, with that season. The ball just happens to be bouncing your way or whatever, you know. And I think the popular catch line is that what they're doing isn't sustainable, and it isn't sustainable. But at the same time, if it just keeps happening, it just keeps happening. Like, what are you going to do? So, you know, I think every Broncos fan out there would take 8-2. I don't think anybody's lamenting the fact that we're 8-2. I think we're all just eyeballing this thing and looking at it and saying, okay, we are 8-2, but the minute that we're stopped playing Jake Browning and Davis Webb and Geno Smith and Justin Fields and, you know, Jackson Dart and what his second start, full start, Cam Ward, the minute we stop playing those guys and we start playing the Patrick Mahomes, the Justin Herberts, the, you know, those kind of guys, are we going to be able to pull these kinds of things off? And I think the answer looks like it's a no.
8-2, so how do you see the rest of the season playing out? Do you think at some point we're going to see the bottom just fall out, and even a great defense, you just they can't overcome these issues on the offensive side?
You know, I don't know. Last year we saw the defense start leaking oil down the stretch.
Yeah.
You know, part of that was injury. You know, just couldn't sustain it anymore. I don't know that that's the case. I hope it's not the case. But you look down the stretch at the games that you've got left, and you figure, okay, we got another game against the Raiders. We should win that, although it's in Vegas, and we barely just beat them. We got two games against Kansas City. Those are probably losses. You got a game against the Chargers. We haven't beaten them in the Sean Payton era. The Packers over there look like a Super Bowl contender, except for inexplicably when they play the Carolina Panthers last weekend. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a team that's winning a lot of football games. I mean, there's a scenario here where you win one more game down the stretch.
Wow.
So, you know, this is I don't want to do the sky is falling stuff, but if we're being realistic here, they could do everything from win one more game the rest of the season to win them all. We still don't know. We're 8-2. Are we any good?
And that's a great point. That's how I feel. I mean, even with the win last night, you're like, okay, what's next? Because I could see it both ways. I could see this defense just continuing to hold teams under whatever 17 points. You find a way to score 20. I could see, you know, the bottom falling out. You just mentioned, you know, when you start going up against these teams with better quarterbacks, well, that awaits you now. You've got a handful of these teams with franchise quarterbacks that are pretty good.
Yeah. And we may catch a break against the Commanders. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, they're going to kind of eyeball this thing and may have him back by that game. So we'll see. But, you know, you may catch a break with that one as well. But most of these quarterbacks that are coming up are a little bit better than the ones we had in the first half. And, you know, this team, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where I think at this point you've won enough games, you're going to make the playoffs, and then you're going to lose in the opening round again. And as Sean Payton continues to be the George Carl of the NFL, you know, the greatest regular season, and then get bounced in the playoffs coach that there is.
Well, I hope we're all wrong, because I'm with you. I agree with you on all fronts. I'm very concerned about what's going to happen offensively. Very concerned just about Sean Payton's strategy overall, and I guess we'll see what that looks like coming up next Sunday when they take on the Chiefs. Benjamin, great stuff from you as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Friday.
Absolutely, take care.
All right, Benjamin Albright, the voice of Bronco, host of Broncos Country tonight, 46 minutes after the hour. What did Sean Payton have to say about last night's win? We'll get to that. Also, J.K. Dobbins, he says he feels you. He feels you, Broncos Country. He's there. We'll talk about it next.
City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.